Again, thank you for being here. Namo Myoho Renge Kyo. I thought, because I've recently been talking about different sections of Gangyo, and I've gotten some really great responses from all of you, I would encourage you to do something that I decided to do many years ago regarding, actually, the only part of the Gangyo I haven't really talked about is the final verse section. We're going to perform a little bit of a skillful means on ourselves here. This final verse section of Part C of Gangyo is prefaced by, as usually, as form dictates throughout the Lotus Sutra and many sutras, that after delivering a sermon, a lecture, an interlocution, Shakyamuni Buddha then recaps the meat and potatoes of the discourse in verse. So it's a review, but in the review, there are particular insights that stand out. And what I want you to try to do as you're performing Gangyo, once again, to not be hung up on the words, but to perceive the meaning. I think it was a great device for me. It was an aha moment. And I think it may be of use to you. Go ahead and read the lifespan of the Tathagata chapter out of the Lotus Sutra itself. Don't rely on the translation in the back of the Gangyo book. That's just an idea. It's very contemporized. But I'm going to read from the H. Kern 1880s transcription translation of the Lotus Sutra. Even though it's old English academic scholarship, it's still very good. And in this particular case, H. Kern's transcription of the Lotus Sutra is in 27 chapters rather than 28. So if you get this book, realize that what he calls the duration of the life of the Tathagata, which I think is a more accurate title. It has a different sense about it than the lifetime of the Tathagata, which is kind of a nonsense because Buddha isn't associated with time. That's a core concept. And by calling it a lifetime, it's kind of misleading. You see what I mean about cultural biases? But so here he is, an English academic, and he recognizes that it's about the duration of the life, existence, if you will, of the Tathagata. And it's the 15th chapter in his book, whereas in every more modern transcription of the Lotus Sutra, there are 28 chapters, and so the duration of the life of the Tathagata comes out to be the 16th rather than the 15th. Anyway, don't let that confuse you too much. I just thought I'd mention it. So here's the trick, or here's the device, the means, the skillful means I'm going to ask of you to do. When you read the verse section, as I'm going to now and annotate, think of it as a conversation between your own Buddha mind and your samsaric mind. Think of it that way, not as this outside, omniscient, whatever, but your own Buddha mind, your enlightened, awakened mind, sitting down, looking directly at your monkeys, your human mind, and having a conversation with you, speaking directly to you, your own enlightenment speaking to you. Can you envision that? Can you envision in your mind that your enlightened mind, your paradigm shift, your awakened Buddha mind is talking to your me, I in the world mind? If you can get this idea, I think this verse section might just knock you on your butt. And I think you'll understand a lot more about the entirety of Myoho Renge Kyo and the teachings of Shakyamuni Buddha if you can separate that Buddha speaking from Shakyamuni Siddhartha, the human. Because actually, this is what he's doing as he's talking to his students. This is exactly what he's doing. He's saying, okay, here's Shakyamuni, I'm talking to you, and now here I am, Buddha, which is you and me. Buddha is a universal thing, but it's not outside of ourselves. Remember Nichiren, don't look for this Gohonzon outside of yourself. Don't look at your Buddha wisdom, your Buddha nature, your Buddha-ness as something outside of you. What's outside of you? We know this. It's you. Self and environment are the same thing. We're just a group of distinctions within one whole. Whole. This is, I know the human mind is hard to break of that habit, but I really want you to try. This is you talking to yourself. This is the Buddha you talking to yourself. That's messed up words because we're in samsara, but this is your own enlightenment, your mind of enlightenment, speaking directly to you, samsaric. And it starts out saying, an inconceivable number of thousands of kodas of eons, never to be measured, it is it since I reached superior or first enlightenment and never ceased to teach the law. In other words, I've been here all along, buddy. This clear, unattached, amazed, loving, compassionate mind that sees everything as it is, all phenomena as it is, without classifying, naming, distinguishing. I've been here all along, buddy. I have been here all along. Not I, you. I, me. Buddha has been here all along. My lifespan is irrelevant to your samsaric little instantiation. What you're doing is incredible because you're talking to me finally. I'm here. I'm here to guide you. Been here all along. And for the few moments that you're in samsara, you can actually communicate with me. Me. And do this to yourself. I'm not talking about Sylvain me. I'm talking about the Buddha me. I roused many bodhisattvas and established them in Buddha knowledge. I brought myriads of codice of beings endless to full ripeness in many codice of eons. My Buddha, your Buddha, has been experienced by many bodhisattvas before you, by many samsaric instantiations. See, is it like timeless communication here? I brought myriads of codice of beings, samsaric beings, endless. Endless to these realizations. Endless. Time irrelevant. As many as you can conjure, because they all found me, Buddha, my Buddha. I show the place of extinction, like I'm going away. I revealed to all beings a device to educate them. Because if you know I'm here, but you're in samsara, samsara will distract you. You just won't pay attention to your own Buddha nature. Because it's far more entertaining to play with things. But you got to know that nothing of this is extant, real. It's all so temporary that you're investing your whole reality into things which, by the way, is also very temporary. But, you know, you can do that. It's just that you've got to play. If you're going to play that game, you got to also accept the suffering that comes along with it. So, you know, if that's what you want, but if you want to be clear-minded and dumbstruck by the process of the whole ball of wax, the whole universe, the whole life process that you're just this one in zillions a part of, if you want to know that reality, I'm always here. All you got to do is decide. Albeit I do not become extinct at the time, and in this very place continue to preach the law. In other words, just because you don't pay attention to me doesn't mean I'm not here. You have the Buddha mind, the Buddha clarity, the Buddha knowledge. You're just not paying attention to it. You're just going into the sleep of samsara, entertaining yourself with toys, baubles, temporary things. There I rule myself as well as all beings, because all of life contains me, Buddha. As all beings, but men of perverted minds in their delusion do not see me standing there. They just don't pay attention to their own enlightened minds. They're completely wrapped in the monkeys in samsara. Most beings, right? In the opinion that my body is completely extinct, mom and dad aren't home, we can do whatever we want. What is it? The cat's away, the mice will play. They pay worship in many ways to the relics, but me they see not. And that's a reference to, well, we knew of Buddha. He was a great philosopher. See, this is the mistake of seeing Shakyamuni as the encompassing Buddha. And so, there are temples with relics of him, a finger, a robe, whatever. It's kind of a weird, like I've said, religions are death cults. They're all about death. And so collecting little archaeological, anthropological finds like this, we'll bank on that as being our path to Buddha. Nothing could be more samsaric, right? You're attached to things. So he calls those people perverted. In the opinion that my body is completely extinct, they pay worship in many ways to the relics, but me, they see not. See, Buddha's always here. Buddha is the life process. Buddha is integral to our existence, yours and mine. They feel, however, a certain aspiration by which their mind becomes right. Somehow they pervert their minds into thinking, well, if I know of that he existed, past tense, then, you know, at least I have that on my side. I can pray to that fingernail that I found. It's total abortion, right? When such upright or pious, mild and gentle creatures leave off their bodies, then I assemble the crowd of disciples and show myself here on the Gridhrakuta. Now, this is a reference to at the time of death, when baubles and things don't have much importance anymore, you'll come to experience me again, even if just for a moment, before you become extinct. Because I've always been here. Because I isn't a way to talk about Buddha. Buddha is this life state. And then I speak thus to them. In this very place, I was not completely extinct at the time. Ha ha. It was but a device of mine, monks. Repeatedly am I born in the world of the living. Is Shakyamuni born every time a human is born? No. But what this means is because Buddha is abiding all the time, this cognitive state of all life. When a new human mind, samsaric instantiation of mind, is born in the womb, Buddha is already there. Buddha is part of the process. Honored by other beings, I show them my superior enlightenment, but you would not obey my word unless the Lord of the world enter Nirvana. Why does he do this? Why does he say this? We betray our own enlightenment because we're so distracted by worldly things, samsaric things. I see how the creatures are afflicted by this delusion, right? But I do not show them my proper being, because they wouldn't understand. Their capacity is completely obliterated by their fascination. You ever seen a little baby's face? Wow, samsara. Wow, this is amazing. Buddha, what do you mean? What are you talking about, Buddha? Look at this stuff. I'm going to put everything in my mouth, right? You look at a little baby, you learn a lot about Buddhism. I see how the creatures are afflicted, but I don't show them my proper being. Let them first have an aspiration to see me. Oh, man, if this isn't a core teaching of Nichiren's. Then I will reveal to them the true law. You decided to live in this samsaric reality and chase after all these temporary, fleeting pleasures. You're going to suffer. Life is suffering. Samsaric life. Samsaric life is full of disappointments and incompleteness. At some point, every human samsaric mind, because it has Buddha clarity in it, part of it, actually it's in Buddha. At some point, you're going to say to yourself, how the hell do I get out of here? Let them first have an aspiration to see me. I don't understand what's going on. Why am I here? What am I supposed to do? You already are calling on your own Buddha. And if you're not a Buddhist, even if you are a Buddhist, you don't even know it. That's what you're doing. Aspiring to experience your Buddha mind. Then I will reveal them the true law. This is how, this is your path. While you're in samsara, this is how you get to Buddha. I'll show you. Such has always been my firm resolve during an inconceivable number of thousands of kodas of eons, and I have not left this Girarakuta for other abodes. This clarity of mind is part of the life process itself, of which we humans are only this little tiny, teeny tiny percentage of its instantiation, its manifestations. We're just like suns and planets, but there are far more suns and planets in the cosmos than there are human beings. We're a very special group, a group in this samsaric wild that get quite obsessed about being us. And we forget about this huge picture. Right? And at some point, we look up in the stars and we start to wonder. And Buddha, our Buddha, is watching us. We're watching ourselves in this drama. And when creatures behold this world and imagine that it is burning, even then, my Buddha field is teeming with gods and men. This is the struggle for our enlightenment. I'm here, I have a handout. I want to show you how to alleviate all this suffering. But you have all of these attachments keeping you from hearing me, from seeing me, from experiencing me. This is your Buddha talking to you. They dispose of manifold amusements, codas of pleasure gardens, palaces, and aerial cars. 3,000 years ago, aerial cars, this field, in other words, is embellished by hills of gems and by trees abounding with blossoms and fruits. There are a lot of distractions in samsara. And aloft, gods are striking musical instruments and pouring a rain of mandaras by which they are covering me, the disciples and other sages who are striving after enlightenment. All these distractions, this looking outward for something to save us. That's not where it is. So is my field here, everlastingly. But others fancy that it is burning. In their view, this world is most terrific, wretched, replete with numbers of woes. Many codas of years they may pass without ever having mentioned my name, the law, or my congregation. That is the fruit of sinful deeds. Sinful. Cultural bias, right? But basically, your Buddha is saying, this is all about your attachment to this temporary, fleeting, ephemeral world. You're choosing the pleasures of that world, even though it pains you. Because you just can't get let go of that one beautiful sensation of apple-flavored Jolly Ranchers. You just won't let it go. But when mild and gentle beings are born in this world of men, and birth, death, moment to moment, right? They immediately see me revealing the law owing to their good works. We practice. We practice and we knock on the door and we work on it every day. And we have moments. We have moments as we're chanting Myoho Renge Kyo, as we're reciting this very Gongyo. And when we stop, we feel it. We know something's happening. Our mind has shifted. But our monkeys are calling. It's really hard to stay in that beatific, amazed state that makes you want to giggle or cry, or that samsara struggling with Buddha. I never speak to them of the infinitudes of my actions. I'm not a braggart. I'm just here. I'm you. Therefore, I am properly existing since long, and yet declare the jhanas are rare or precious. The consciousnesses, the experiences. I know. It's rare to be human. It's precious. I understand why you're attached to it. Your Buddha is speaking to you like a parent, like a loving, compassionate parent. Such is the glorious power of my wisdom that knows no limit. And the duration of my life is as long as an endless period. I have acquired it after previously following a due course. Feel no doubt concerning it, O sages, and leave off all uncertainty. The word I here pronounced is really true. My word is never false. I'm not a made-up creation of samsara. Buddha, perception, mind of Buddha, is an aspect of the formations of life. It's always here. It abides. Just like energy. Don't say energy is Buddha, though. You would be mistaken. Don't say consciousness is part of energy. No. All of these are distinctions and delineages of samsara. Buddha isn't that. Buddha isn't knowledge. Buddha is a lens. And only in our human samsaric mind can we peer through it. Isn't that a conundrum? That the very location of suffering, human life, is where we have the unique ability to be in this life and enjoy all of its baubles, like the baby. But also with the vision that frees us, not eliminates, suffering continues, but frees us from the attachment to suffering. Because life, by its nature, is full of things and letting go of things. And letting go of things is always painful. But if you understand that that's the nature of things, then it doesn't hurt you anymore. That the very accrual of things ceases to have value. It's just an entertainment. For even as the physician skilled in devices for the sake of his sons, whose notions were perverted, said that he had died through his... Remember the story of the skilled physician? He was still alive, and even as no sensible man would charge that physician with falsehood, right? He tricked his kids into taking the medicine so that they would be healed. This is how your Buddha mind cooperates in a way with your fascination with samsara. But it's too easy to forget. So am I, the father of the world, the self-born, the healer, the protector of all creatures. Knowing them to be perverted, infatuated, and ignorant, I teach final rest, myself not being at rest. That's very poetic, but it means that your Buddha lens exists only in this life, this samsaric life. And that Buddha lens never goes away because it's part of all life. It's just that only here in our human mind can we peer through Buddha. Can we experience Buddha just like everything else we experience? What reason should I have to continually manifest myself? You know, this is why we don't have a reincarnation of Buddha. We don't have people waking up in Texas going, I'm Buddha, right? Buddha is a state all living life, all samsaric has, you and me and everyone we know. It's not up to a man or a woman to pop out of their woodwork and go, okay, I'm taking over the mantle. Come see me. I'll teach you. I'm Buddha. No, that doesn't happen. What reason should I have to continually manifest myself? I don't need to manifest myself as a human to prove that there's Buddha. Buddha's already here. It's always been here. You can experience it for yourself. You don't need me to show up on 2 feet and walk around and show it to you. When men become unbelieving, unconfident, unwise, ignorant, careless, fond of sensual pleasures, and from thoughtlessness run into misfortune, right? You just bury yourself into samsara. Whoopee! Then I, Buddha, who know the course of the world, samsara, declare, I am so and so, and consider. How can I incline them to enlightenment? How can they become partakers of the Buddha laws? And this finally is an exhortation to you and me. This should be your goal, my goal. How do I incline others to return, to open, to awaken their Buddha minds, their clear minds, their unattached, unemotional, unattached minds? That's an emotion experience, like I use the words, amazement and compassionate. You could say those are emotions, but those emotions are raised by your samsaric mind, but on a scale that's not about ego. That's not about I-ness, selfness. It's about life-ness, suchnesses. See, it'd be more true to say that I'm a Sylvain suchness and you're a Bob or a John or an Irene or a Tammy suchness. And there are how many Tammys and Bobs and Prabeeps in the world, right? And Asvagoshas and Letitias, and how many of them are you in samsara throughout time? They all have their own suchnesses. But see, that's a better word. They're just characteristics identifiable distinctions. There is no box of Sylvain. Unless you cremate me, I guess you could say all the ashes are little Sylvains. I don't think that works. Because Sylvain isn't this, right? Sylvain isn't even my words. Sylvain is my attitudes and intents. And my intents and attitudes, if they're born of Buddha-ness, they have a far more reaching effect than if it's just this sack of meat throwing words out. But the truth is, that's always at play. We're just either ignorant of it or embracing it. And this is our Buddha talking to us, reminding us, yeah, I'm here waiting to parent your life, waiting to give you better clarity, better purpose, better understanding where your place is in all of life. And how magnificent this rare opportunity is. And sure, you can piss it away if you want. It's not up to me to stop you. It's up to you to stop you. It's up to you to raise your desire, your single-mindedly raising of your mind to awaken what's already there. You've just buried it underneath all this great stuff. It's an intimate conversation. I don't know. I hope that helps you. It made me consider the words of Shakyamuni's teachings quite differently. But it's hard to hang on to. So maybe as you do Gongyo, maybe that will produce results, different results. Try it. If nothing else, I hope it helps you to come up with your own insights. You'll only know if you do it. Namo Myoho Renge Kyo. Thank you. Thank you. I just looked at the time because it suddenly occurred to me. Did I ever start the recording? Oh, that would be funny, because then I would have been here talking to myself, talking to my Buddha, Buddha talking to me. Very circular. Anyway, thank you for your contributions. Thank you for your support. Yes, Tammy, don't forget to like and subscribe. And I'll see you in the next one. Thanks again. Namo Myoho Renge Kyo. Bye for now. Hey, thank you for being here. Did you know there's a third way you can help support this channel? And it won't cost you a cent. Yep, if you are not able to be a patron on Patreon or use the PayPal me at .com at Sifu Sylvain because you don't have the financial fortune to help support this channel right now, you, as I say, always support this channel by watching. But you can also help us grow so that maybe one day we can get over 10,000 subscribers and YouTube will grace us with monetization. It's not a lot, but if you can make sure you're subscribed and share a video, like a simple one, just go into the search criteria and type monk and you'll have a video that'll come up that's been up for years about what is a monk. You know, it's called monk, who, how, where, something like that. That might be a great introduction to somebody who doesn't understand what a monk is to begin with. It's a tool. Use this channel as a tool to help you with your bodhisattva practice and share a video to somebody who you think, oh, I know somebody who'll benefit from watching this. And in that way, you can help us grow. And that's a really good way to help your practice along as well. So just wanted to drop that in on you in case that's something that you might find useful. Take care of yourself again, and I'll see you soon. Bye.